Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Lowe from On3 Sports. And Chris, there's just so many different directions I could go. We've had arguments about Almond Joy candy bars. I mean, it's just we've been off the rails all day today. Monkeys in Mississippi, things like that. But I guess we need to focus with you, my friend, on college football. It is the Georgia-Florida or Florida-Georgia game going on this weekend. Obviously, that's a huge thing. But, talk a little bit about these two teams, this matchup. It's just one of those weird deals where interim coach on one side and obviously Georgia on this side has their eyes set on an SEC championship berth and a possible college football playoff berth.
Yeah, and you know the Gators would love nothing more than to sort of ruin the season for Georgia, which they got a chance to do. And you know what? They're good enough, and they've got the roster. They're capable of doing that. It's not going the way anybody in Gatorland would want, but I also don't think this is a Georgia team that's close to what they were in 21 or 22. Now, they're good, and I think they could beat anybody. But I think we've seen this year they've also, at times, been a flawed football team. I think Kirby Smart would tell you that. They had to come back on the road, which I give them credit for, to beat Tennessee. The Auburn game was really close. They lost at home to Alabama. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Florida be in this football game and have a chance to win. And you know, again, if you're the Gators, they realize just how deflating a loss this would be for the Dogs if they could get them.
Well, Chris, the question I would have is kind of a look ahead for Florida. Is Lane Kiffin realistic for them as the head coach? And if not, what is a realistic fit for them down there in Gainesville? Because whatever's going on in Gainesville, they can't. I know that Napier had everything he asked for, but there's a riddle down there hiring the new head coach since Urban Meyer, and they have gotten it wrong every time.
They have, and it's not like they were hiring guys that were not, on the market. Billy Napier, let's use Billy as an example. He turned out a ton of opportunities when he was in Louisiana. Arkansas, there was Auburn, there was Mississippi State. I think Ole Miss might have been in there. There were a lot of opportunities in the SEC that he said thanks but no thanks, and then got the Florida job. So, Jim McElwain, when they hired Jim McElwain, had done a really nice job at Colorado State. He was well thought of. He worked under Saban. Dan Mullen, I think we all would agree that Dan Mullen was a commodity. He did things at Mississippi State they hadn't done in years. So they were hiring guys that other people wanted. It just, for whatever reason, didn't work out. And I think the standard at Florida is not for everybody. Mullen got to the SEC championship game. McElwain got there twice. But they certainly did not win at the level that Urban Meyer did, or Steve Spurrier. And I think that the shadow, in some ways, of those two guys maybe has engulfed some people who come after him. Spurrier's still there. He's still got an office in the football stadium. Some guys, not that he's doing anything wrong, but some guys just, they don't handle that well. And I think that's why, whoever you get, and you ask me, is Lane Kiffin realistic? Yeah, absolutely. I think Lane Kiffin will consider and is considering. I think my conversations with Lane recently, the whole Auburn experience a few years ago changed him. I think it opened his eyes that he's not going to sit around and fixate on what might come next. with a football team that should be a playoff team this year. They're a really good team and have a really manageable path to get there. But will he consider Florida? Absolutely. Will he consider LSU? Absolutely. And guess what? If Mike Norvell doesn't make it at Florida State, I can promise you that they're going to have interest. They did 2 years ago when it looked like Norvell might go to Alabama. And I think most people in the industry would tell you, if you start comparing all those jobs, I think we have different criteria what makes the best job. But Florida State, you probably got a little bit easier pathway to the playoff every year than you would at Florida or LSU.
Well, when it comes to Lane, I mean, there are a lot of openings right now with head coaching gigs. And he said the other day, you know, he wouldn't choose something based on money. But realistically, Chris, he's going to get to name his price right now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's good. It would be good to be Lane Kiffin right now. And it's funny because, you know, I bet you 4 years ago or five, when he got to Ole Miss in 2020, and he said this, he's told me this, there weren't very many people knocking on his door. Keith Carter at Ole Miss took a chance on Lane. You know, Lane was not in a good place in his life then. Everybody knew it. The stories were out there. And they took a shot. You know, Lane has sort of rediscovered himself. You know, he's sober now. He's just in a good place, having known Lane for a long time. Hey, he's still going to be Lane Kiffin. There's still parts of Lane that a lot of people won't like, don't want to deal with, but there's a lot of good parts too. I think clearly he's come in and resurrected that Ole Miss football program. I know he's very grateful for the opportunities they gave him, and he likes living there. He likes the, you know, that way of life. So I don't think there's anything out there that he feels like, hey, I got to run to this because I'm running away from Ole Miss. But no, I think he's gonna sit there. He's got good representation, and he's gonna weigh everything and see what works best for him. You're right, though. It won't be a money deal. Ole Miss would put together something right now if he would sign it that would make him one of the highest, if not the highest, paid coach in college football. If he leaves, and I think there's a decent chance that he will, because of all jobs are open, it will be because he thinks that place gives him a better opportunity to win at the very highest level every single year, and that you can do it through high school recruiting and the portal. I mean, they pretty much had to do it, piece it together year by year in the portal at Ole Miss. I don't think in the recruiting hotbeds that you have in Louisiana or Florida that you necessarily would have to do that.
Hanging out with Chris Lowe from On3 Sports, talking about all the craziness around the SEC and really the whole country when it comes to coaching searches and everything else. Chris, I'm curious, do you think that there's any programs in the SEC or anywhere else at this point that maybe are more hesitant because of the jobs that are already open that, and you know, maybe it's an Auburn or another program like that that look at it and go, you know what, man, we might just hold on for another year. I don't know that we would be at the top of the list with LSU, Florida, Penn State, and other things like that already open. Do you think there's going to be more movement as far as the SEC when it comes to firing coaches, or do you think that this group right now is going, you know what, let's wait one more cycle?
I think it'll factor into their decisions. I don't think it'll be a deal breaker. You know, if Auburn just stinks it up down the stretch, there's going to be enough people, enough money people who just want to move on. That would be 3 years under Freeze. They would not have had a winning season. And I think there's just that type of pressure now. More than ever, and right or wrong, the boosters and the donors who contribute to the collective, who pay the money to buy players, to purchase, whatever you want to say, to go into the collective, to attract players. Some people like the word buy. They feel like that they're more, A, they are probably more invested because they're pulling up all this money to bring in players, but B, that they have a bigger say, a louder say in, hey, I just gave you a couple million dollars. You know, and we got this quarterback and this edge rusher. Well, they're not performing at the level that they should be, or you've not coached them or developed them well enough. You better do that, or I'm going to pull my money back. I think there's more of that. I know there's more of that than ever before. And that creates more pressure on the AD, on the president, regents to make a move maybe quicker than you would have previously. I mean, I give Florida credit. You know, everybody says, well, you know, Florida should have done it earlier with Billy Napier. Well, they at least gave him a chance, and they gave him 4 years. I mean, they were a really bad football team to start last year. He got that thing back. He got the locker room. He didn't lose the locker room. They won a bunch of games down the stretch. He comes into this year, well, obviously didn't work out, and they got rid of him. But they at least gave him what you would feel like was a fair shot. They're pretty much the exception. I mean, everybody else, you know, has moved quickly. I understand Penn State says, wait a minute, Franklin was here for 12 years. We were patient. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, maybe. But he's also a top 10 program in five of his last 9 years, and he was a drive away from playing for the national title last year. And granted, he never beat anybody, you know, in the top five. But he still gave you a top-tier program. They felt like somebody else could come in and could win the Natty, you know, could start beating Ohio State, beating Oregon now that Dan Lanning's and Eugene. Well, more power to them. Maybe they find that person. Maybe they don't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Lowe joining us here on the morning shift. Chris, SEC championship game could have we could go through a couple combinations. It could be Ty Simpson versus Gunnar Stockton or Diego Pavia or Marcel Reed. You know, you just go through it. Could it be like basically not only a matchup for an SEC title and a bye, but maybe the Heisman Trophy as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, when you look at the polls for whatever they're worth, and I participate in a couple for On Three. You know, we don't call races. We call 100-meter races at the 70-meter mark, clearly, because to me, the Heisman's always, well, who performs the best on the biggest stages? You know, and that's it's always been that way. And I think there's some big stages still to come. But absolutely, I think if you were to get – let's say you were to get A&M in Alabama in the SEC title game. You know, Marcel Reed has been terrific this month. I think he's accounted for 12 or 13 touchdowns just in October. Ty Simpson, I think, is playing a level that's higher than any quarterback out there in college football right now. So if those two met, let's say their teams are both one-loss teams, top 10 teams, yeah, it very easily could be a game that determines the Heisman Trophy. You know, do we see Oregon and Indiana rematch, you know, in the Big Ten championship game? Or is it Ohio State? An unbeaten Ohio State team, an unbeaten Indiana team that play. You got Mendoza, you got Jordan Sayid. So I think there's a lot of scenarios out there like that that could impact the Heisman Trophy race. It's going to be pretty fascinating to see how this thing closes out because there's a lot of teams in the SEC right now that I think look a lot alike. And I think their resumes, when it's all said and done, when we come out of the SEC title game, so that's going to be another loss for somebody, I think you're going to have five teams maybe six, but I think five teams, all that look fairly similar in who they've beaten, what their records are, because you're going to have some teams that have sort of beaten up on each other. And I think that's going to make this, to me, the test case in the second year of the 12-team playoff. Does the committee look at a two-loss SEC team? I still don't know that we get a three-loss team in, but do they look at maybe five teams in the SEC who all have two losses or four have two and one has one, for instance, And do those teams get in over a one-loss ACC team, a one-loss Big 12 team, a two-loss Notre Dame team? This is going to be, to me, an even bigger test case for how they select the teams in last year.
Nobody knows the SEC like Chris Lowe from On3 Sports. Chris, man, we always appreciate it. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You bet, guys. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.